CityTalk 105.9 official podcasts. Online at citytalk.fm. Downtown Liverpool in business with Frank McKenna. CityTalk 105.9.
Hello and welcome to City Talk's Business with me, Frank McKenna. I'm the chairman of the Independent Private Sector Lobby Group and Business Networking Club Downtown Liverpool in Business, and every Sunday we look at issues affecting Liverpool and the wider Northwest region. Today we're talking about city deals, city mayors, turnaround facilities, housing, Liverpool Waters and the Global Entrepreneurship Congress. And we couldn't have two more qualified guests to discuss these important matters than the guys who join me in the studio today. Welcome to the leader of Liverpool City Council, Joe Anderson, and the chief executive of Liverpool Vision, Max Steinberg. Good morning, chaps.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Great to see you both. And just first off, Joe, really, an exciting development, the elected mayor initiative. The election will take place in May. I know there's been a lot written and a lot said about how it came about, but I just wondered if you could briefly explain to the listeners what the city deal actually encompasses and how that sort of then resulted in us having the option for an elected mayor.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, in simple terms, we meet regularly with government, and in September of last year, I met with them when they were promoting the city mayor's concept, and I said to them, look, you know, we have a large majority in the city, so what difference does it make to us? And you know, you can only surely offer an elected mayor if you give real powers and resources. So they challenged me then and said, well, okay, what is it you would want from government? And they kick-started a set of negotiations which has lasted for about 4 months, resulting in the city deal. And the city deal is a great opportunity for the city. You know, never again will local authority funding be the same, irrespective of what colour the political leadership is nationally. So the city like Liverpool and other cities have to do things differently. We have to grow the private sector and create jobs as the public sector contracts, unfortunately. And that's where we are. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the city deal gives us an opportunity to stimulate growth and generate more businesses within the city. And we've got 5 mayoral development zones and an enterprise zone, the only city outside the City of London to have those powers, which is a fantastic opportunity for us to incentivise business and use the business rates uplift to support some of the poorest areas within the city to create jobs. We've got other powers as well. We've got the Northwest Development Agency assets that were taken away from us from that quango and given to another quango, the HCA. We've now actually got control over those assets so that we can shape our destiny. There's powers to work with the job centre agencies and Job Centre Plus, the Department for Work and Pensions to get long-term unemployed people back into work, and there's powers around housing, but there's £130 million worth of cash that we can have as a capital pot to build new schools as part of our Building Schools for the Future programme, our own, matching the money that we've set aside and prudentially borrowed. So it's an exciting opportunity for the city. You know, the it's estimated that the whole lot of these powers and the resources can generate, you know, literally 10,000 jobs over the next sort of 5 to 6, 7 years. Plus the fact that, you know, potentially, again, it's up to sort of £1 billion worth of investment coming into the city as we use those development zones and enterprise zones to attract new businesses to the city. So it was a great deal. Now, you know, what happened was government said to us, well, you know, you can have that now if you go through an elected mayor process, because quite simply, we want to see strong and effective leadership in cities that we give the city deal to. And that caused me a little bit of concern because it meant that we weren't going through a referendum. But, you know, already this week, we've announced that we're saving the school uniform grants by using that money, £200,000, with money that we save from the 08 place, to save uniform grants within within the city to some of the poorest families within the city. And what I say to people who talk about a referendum, well, there's going to be enough candidates standing in May who are against the mayor. There's one who's completely, totally opposed to it, who's standing, and plus the Liberal Democrats are opposed to the mayor and want the system to remain the same. So people will have the choice to vote for the Labour Party who and other parties who are pro, but I think we're the only party that's putting ourselves forward as pro-mayor and pro this package. Even the Greens have voted against it. So I don't think there's going to be any candidate that's pro-mayor. And I think everybody else, you have that choice to vote Labour, who are pro-mayor and pro this package, or someone who's anti-mayor who will turn it back to this system. So in actual fact, people will have that opportunity of a referendum because they can vote against me as the Labour Party candidate and against Labour and for other candidates who are for it. So I'm confident that people will choose the package that's on offer, quite simply because it's an opportunity for the city to be ahead of the curve and to be first for once rather than at the back of the queue.
Mm. And I think from a business perspective, there's some points that you've hit on there, Joe, that will be of real interest. I mean, schools and education are such an important element now to what businesses feel is important to a city, particularly if you're coming to invest in Liverpool, Max. So, you know, that sort of package, £130 million into education. And then also some of the monies that has been earmarked for housing. And again, those two areas, I know, are areas that you've taken a great interest in.
I'm not going to get into the politics of the mayor issue because it's not for me, but in terms of investment in this city, the opportunity to restart the housing programme that effectively was cancelled when the market renewal programme came to an end. The Building School for the Future programme came to an end. You know, schools were left in a condition which is unacceptable. We're not going to give young people the life chance start they need in some of these buildings. The chance to invest in new businesses in the city, you know, you have to say this is a real opportunity. There are parts of the city still where it's very difficult to attract private money into. You know, we had areas of the city. I was driving through Speke the other day and I was thinking to myself how private money's now come in there on the back of what public money did. The package that Joe's talking about will enable us, or Vision, on behalf of the city, working as it does for the City Council, to, I think, bring private money alongside that public money to stretch that £1 billion even further. That investment's got to be good for the city. At the end of the day, better housing, better education, the thing this city needs more than anything else is jobs. Mm. It needs sustainable jobs for a long-term future. That's the growth package I think Joe's talking about, and it's part of all of that that will make this city even more forward-looking than it's been for the last few years. So I very much welcome the opportunity for the investment to come here. I look forward for Vision to play its part, working for the council to deliver that, and it is very exciting.
I think one of the things that's been noticeable to most people who are active in the Liverpool business community over the past couple of years, Joe, is the improved accessibility to the local authority and to the leader's office. And I don't think there's... the fact that you're a full-time political leader, I don't think has done that any harm whatsoever. So will an elected mayor actually enable that sort of relationship to develop even further, do you think? Do you think there'll be opportunities for the mayor to work in partnership with the private sector, perhaps in a more flexible way than is the case at the moment?
Yeah, absolutely it will. And the reason is that, you know, when we've got the mayoral development zones and also the enterprise zone, but just, for example, take the mayoral development zones where they will be in five deprived areas of the city and areas where we need regeneration. Then, you know, we'll be looking to have the private sector on those boards and chairing those boards. So there's a real involvement and a sense of ownership with the private sector and with the voluntary sector and local councils and local residents to drive forward regeneration. So, you know, absolutely there will be an opportunity for businesses to be involved in that. You know, and don't forget, you know, the mayor will have the Mayoral Development Corporation as well, and you know there are other exciting things that we you know, I'm not going to just talk about yet, but over the next couple of weeks, when I produce my manifesto for the election, I'll be setting out exactly how businesses can engage with us, but also about how we, you know, the things, the exciting things that we're going to do. So it'll be real opportunities for business and the business sector to get involved even more. But you're right, you know, I mean, a lot of people are forgetting about what we've achieved over the last sort of 2 years, less than 2 years now, but by time May comes around 2 years, we've achieved an enormous amount. We've kept our pledges and our promises to the private sector. You know, now people can get access to offices immediately and, you know, pick up the phone and see me if it's necessary to, and ask me to unblock, you know, any problems. So that will continue, because that's absolutely the way it should be. For too long, I listened to businesses criticising the city and saying that they were not happy with the city's response and performance. And I think, you know, what I'm hearing now is music to my ears, because it's exactly the type of partnership and collaboration that there should be between the city and businesses, you know, because we are a modern city. We are a city that's going places, and we can do that with the private sector much more quickly and strongly working together.
And a great example of that is the deal that was announced earlier this week that the council have struck with Leader One, mm-hmm. which is an investment into the house and stuff, yeah, and some new build as well.
And it's a great example, a really good example. And the frustrating thing for me, though, however, is that it took so long. However, it's there now. You know, the people often criticise the council, and I think, you know, ignorance is bliss in many ways. You know, people don't realise. You know, they talk about, for instance, the house and the derelict houses, and, you know, that we should refurbish them. Well, we will refurbish them. That's what the deal with Leader One is to refurbish three tranches of derelict houses, and we've refurbished more derelict houses than we've knocked down. And I think that puts to bed this claim that we're Luddites and we want to just demolish. It's nonsense, but yeah, it's absolutely right that we engage with the private sector. I want to see these houses brought back into use. That's why we're providing the mortgage schemes as a city council, and that's exactly what the private sector can do as well, provide mortgages and provide the opportunities for young people who want to get in the housing chain, the opportunity to do so, but bring back into use some of these. I mean, I was up in Wavertree yesterday at a site where they're going to develop. That's a fantastic street, absolutely brilliant street. You know, looks really well, and the residents that lived around it were delighted, absolutely delighted that, you know, in May we're going to start working on bringing these houses back into use, and you know, knocking two houses into one to create a big family space and create two and three bedrooms in the others. It's a really exciting opportunity, and as I said, we look forward to working with Leader One, not just on this project but on others.
And Max, I know the initial contact with Leader One was made at our Liverpool embassy launch, because I remember being involved in the discussions. We introduced them into Vision, and then, as I say, it's concluded with this fantastic deal for the city. So again, another tick in the box, really, for an exciting initiative. The embassy, you know, some people questioned, should we be spending money on that sort of thing at the time that the cuts were taking place? But here is proof positive that actually it's attracting real investment into the city.
It is, and it's going on doing its business, really. I've just picked up some news this week of a deal that's been struck in the embassy. We'll be announcing in a couple of weeks' time, which will create another major investment in the city. That came about because there was an introduction in the embassy. The business meeting took place there. There have been over 500 meetings in the last 6 months in the embassy with businesses. In fact, some of the meetings that I think yourself and Joe and I have been down to London with businesses are getting so big now that we've had to use the Gherkin, we've had to use the Royal Medical Society. And it's just for those people who won't make that journey here, who we need to introduce the changes in the city. I've said before on this programme, I think I've heard you say it, Frank, Joe said it, that sometimes the image of this city isn't quite still understood in the south of the country. So if the embassy is able to get over those barriers, bring people into Liverpool in London, let them see what we're doing, let them meet the people they can do business with in Liverpool, that has to be a good thing. And the proof of the pudding is Leader One, the deal we signed last week, about which more details will come very shortly. And generally speaking, it's getting on, making sure the business connections are made. And just one other thing, we recently had the Lord Mayor of London here for a day. He went to the embassy, said it was one of the best things he thought the city was doing. He had an introduction to the city before he came here. He's encouraging businesses in London to go and visit the embassy. And I've been talking to the leader of the council about how we sustain that for the future. And I think it will be something that goes forward in the new financial year, where we're going to continue promoting the opportunities in Liverpool, in our capital city, to make sure that the opportunities in Liverpool are understood.
Well, all good news coming out of our first part of the programme. I'm sure that will continue after the break. Stay with us. We'll be back in a mo.
Downtown Liverpool in business with Frank McKenna. City Talk 105.9.
Welcome back to the programme. I'm joined in the studio today by the Liverpool City Council leader, Joe Anderson, and the Chief Executive of Liverpool Vision, Max Steinberg. And we're talking, obviously, about our great city and about its regeneration. Something else that I think is fast approaching conclusion and positive conclusion, Joe, is the cruise liner turnaround facility. Can you just tell us where we're up to with that?
Yeah, I mean, we are hopefully close to a resolution of this, in terms of we've agreed with government that we will abide by the outcome of an independent group, an independent panel who's going to look at the amount of money that we should repay and return to government, which we received by way of a grant to build the facility in the first place, the stage on the river. That will probably take another couple of weeks, although they promised me that it would be done in 3 weeks, and that was, you know, that's up now. But these things in Whitehall take, you know, a lot longer than we think. But hopefully, you know, within the sort of 3 week period, 4 weeks, we will get the we'll get that decision. We will abide by that decision, because that's what I've committed us to doing. But, you know, we're getting on with it. We've got a planning application that's going in within another couple of weeks, which means that we can build a temporary facility on what we call Plot 7. So we can get on and have the liners come into the city in the summer. You know, we've got a schedule of about 15 that are coming to the pierhead. And that's something that we all look forward to. So hopefully it'll be a quick resolution to this, and we can get on with bringing them here. And then, you know, the fact is that the cruise liner operators can actually then plan into their itineraries for stop-offs and turnarounds here in the city for next year, because it's a growth area, cruises, cruise liners, and we want to get in there because Liverpool has a lot to offer.
And just moving away from the international tourism business that's going to bring in, Max, we were talking in the break there about the amount of interest that's been shown from China. Now, I know that's come obviously through the embassy initiative in part, but equally the Liverpool Waters initiative, which I'll speak to Joe about in a second, in terms of its where it's up to, its planning stages and so on. But there's, again, Chinese interest in that development as well, isn't there?
There is Chinese investment in that. I actually think this goes back to the successful expo when Joe and I were in Shanghai. I think that experience that Liverpool had and the effect it had on the Shanghai government, the Shanghai authorities, sorry, businesses in Shanghai and the wider Chinese network has reaped dividends. I think we've now had something around 50 delegations since we came back from Shanghai, 16, 17 months ago. Over 50 deals have been signed between Liverpool businesses and Chinese businesses, raising from about ranging from about £5,000 to £500,000. There's a delegation here the coming week, again from China. They're interested in investing in the city. They're looking at opportunities to invest. And it's not just the fact they're coming here, they are actually investing. I think that expo, again, at the time, Frank, you know, for the city council, I think for Vision as well, part of the city council, there was some questions raised about was it worth doing it. I think it has been proven to do it. There's now a China business club in this city with over 300 members meeting regularly. We've got Vision on behalf of the city council has got someone on a business desk in China looking for opportunities to bring to Liverpool, connecting people to businesses in China. It's a massive growth market. It's one of the biggest growth markets in the world. This city should be connected into it. And if we're not connected into it, other cities will be. So I'd say it's good value for money, and it's actually reaping rewards.
Mm. As I say, Joe, one of the big debating points at the moment in the city is the Liverpool Waters scheme. Mm-hmm. We had Ian Pollock from Peel outlining what their plans are. for that particular part of the city. It goes to planning, I believe, this week, Tuesday. Again, you know, for me, £5.5 billion potential investment opportunity, and we seem to be getting stymied by this World Heritage status and World Heritage badge. I've spoken on more than one occasion on this programme about the value of that in comparison to the potential investment opportunities. Again, what's the council's general view of this? The Peel project has obviously been welcomed because of the amount of investment they're bringing in. But do you think that we can strike the right balance between future developments and the heritage of the city?
Well, I mean, I've got to be slightly careful what I say because it goes to planning on Tuesday. But I'm on record as saying that we can strike that balance. I don't believe for one minute that we would have the fantastic city that we've got now without bold and brave decisions being made over 100 years ago, for instance, to build some of the buildings that we've got on the waterfront. And I've got plans in my office that show to the north of Liverpool, to the north of the pierhead, bigger buildings than the Liver buildings and the Port of Liverpool buildings. And, you know, that proves to me that our forefathers were ambitious and bold about the city. Hence, that's why we've got a fantastic, you know, seaport and with a fantastic reputation. And, you know, the way I look at this is when I look at the site, I say to myself, it's as good as the site, potentially as good as Canary Wharf in London. And we can look at this site and say, do we leave it derelict for another 20 years or do we actually make a bold statement about the city and our future? And I'm confident that the right decision will be made at plan. Our officers, rightly so, are recommending acceptance. I think we've got a situation where 98% of the people in this city want it because it's right for their children and their grandchildren and, you know, for future generations of this city, that we bring in businesses and bring in opportunities for people to work here in the city and to put our city once again back on the map. We're not going to get an offer of £5.5 billion worth of private sector funding to regenerate the north of Liverpool. And in my view, as I said, it's something that we can have a balance between our historic heritage, which we love within the city, we can keep, but we can also be bold and ambitious. And we just talked about, you know, Shanghai before. And if you go to that city or if you go to many, many cities, Vancouver and many other places around the globe, you'll see this balance between heritage and also modernity in terms of modern, futuristic looking buildings. And I think we can get that right. I'll have a lot more to say, you know, after planning's made its decision. But I'm confident and hopeful anyway, but certainly that the planning department, the planning committee will make the right decision. And on Tuesday, I'll have a lot more to say because I think, you know, from my point of view, jobs and growth are absolutely vital to the future of our city.
And I suppose the argument that some would put is that the tourism sector and the visitor economy is particularly it's particularly important to those guys that we have the heritage status retained and so on. Again, my view is that Liverpool's got a lot more to offer than that, but just in terms of how we're selling and promoting the city now, Max, what do you think the sort of messages that we need to be getting out to the international community are? Are they about our heritage? Are they actually about other things that the city's involved in now?
I think the messages are about both. The fact is this is a historical city. It's got some fantastic buildings. I think the fact that we've got more Grade 2 listed buildings than any other city in the country other than Bath and London is the case. So, you know, this is a rich historical city with fantastic architecture. But it's a city over the last 5 or 10, 15 years that's been modernising itself. You know, the planning issue is not an issue for me. What I would say is this city is perfectly capable of blending the modern with the heritage aspect of the city. We need to keep remodernising the offer of the city to attract people here. Mm. The American visitors particularly, you know, come here because of the musical heritage of the city. They come here also because the city's offer in terms of shopping and destination attractions is growing all the time. We're currently, on behalf of the City Council, carrying out an investment framework for the city centre. I think you'll be getting some news from the mayor, I would guess, in May, June, about some new attractions we'll be bringing to the city centre, which will reinvigorate the offer for the city. Cities that are modern keep on reinventing themselves. That's what Shanghai's done, as Joe said. That's what New York does. That's what Liverpool should do. So we'll see what happens on Tuesday. I say that's not my concern. One of the issues I'm concerned about, though, is if we don't get that investment, where do the communities of North Liverpool go to? Mm-hmm. Where will they find the jobs in the future? How will they connect into the growth of the future? That, for me, is the main way forward for North Liverpool to actually be taken forward as part of the redevelopment of the whole of the city. So, yes, it's important for tourism. Yes, it's important for a diverse offer, but it's crucially important to the communities of North Liverpool that decision enables the investment to come into this city.
Mm. Joe?
And let's just be clear about this, absolutely clear. This is not going to take away people's views of these buildings. It's absolutely not. And as I said, if our forefathers hadn't had the ambition to build these in the first place, you know, one, they wouldn't be there, but there were people objecting to them because of the scale and size of them. And I think that to me sums it up. But what also sums it up to me in terms of this argument that people put forward is 98% of the people that live in our city can't see these buildings from their homes. I can't see it from my house, and I guess most people listening in can't look out the window and see it unless you live over in the Whittle. But the reality is, when you want to come to Liverpool, you don't say, oh, I'm going to go to the River Mersey and have a look at these buildings. They'll say, I'm going to go down to the pierhead and look at these magnificent buildings from there, and I'm going to engage and involve myself by going inside these buildings. And I just believe that most people want to come to the city because of its people, because of its sporting heritage, because of its musical heritage, because of our, you know, maritime heritage, and want to see the buildings like the Albert Dock and other buildings within it. And they don't want to come and see a certificate in Liverpool Town Hall,
absolutely,
which says, you know, this is what we are. So I just personally believe that those people who want to wrap the city in that part of the city in Aspic, you know, are widely off the mark, and quite frankly probably don't even live in the city.
Yeah, well, most of them don't, do they?
Just want to add one point for me, Frank. I recently took some investors around the city, and we were travelling from the Hope Street area down from one cathedral to the other, and you know, somebody a long time ago took a brave decision about the cathedral at one end, and perhaps a brave decision about the cathedral at the other end as well. But, and I'm not going to get into style here, but they said, what a fantastic city to be able to encompass both of those cathedrals in such a close environment next to all those grade two listed houses. Isn't that kind, that diversity that makes cities interesting, makes them attractive? People always have a view about individual buildings because people will have individual taste. But the city, a rich city, is diverse. It has a tapestry. This city has that. Let's hope we can keep on adding to it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And again, I think the point was made last week by Ian Pollard, that, you know, this is an outline plan and permission that's being sought on Tuesday. Every individual development that takes place in terms of the buildings, the height, the quality, that will be subject to plan and applications anyway. So people will have another opportunity of having a say.
How dare people? UNESCO themselves praised Liverpool for the museum, for Liverpool One, for the whole Liverpool One complex, so near to the Albert Dock. They praised us for that. How dare organisations like CABE, or like Heritage, like, you know, the Civic Society or whatever they are, tell us that we need them to control what we do. Each one of those decisions and those future buildings in phase two of this development will come through to planning, and planning will look at the quality of design and look at the materials and make a judgment based on that, not based on what somebody from Heritage says to us or whatever. With the greatest respect to them, we've been praised by UNESCO because we got it right, and we'll continue to get it right. Mm.
Well, it's a discussion that we've had on many occasions. Finally, we'll get a decision on Tuesday at the Planning Committee, and no doubt we'll discuss that decision on next Sunday's programme. After this short break, we're going to be talking about another very exciting initiative that's coming to Liverpool, the Global Entrepreneurship Congress. We'll tell you all about the details of that in a moment.
Downtown Liverpool in business with Frank McKenna. City Talk 105.9.
Welcome back to the programme. Joined in the studio today by the City Council leader, Joe Anderson, and the Chief Executive of Liverpool Vision, Max Steinberg. Global Entrepreneurship Congress, Max, comes to the city just over a week's time.
Just over a week's time, Frank. Over 2,500 people in the arena, 140 countries, ministerial delegations from about 10 or 12 of those countries, businesses from across the world coming to Liverpool, delegates from across this country and across Europe coming to Liverpool. And the first time this Congress has been in Europe, having been in Kansas City, Dubai and Shanghai before, a fantastic capture for the city, some great speakers, probably the best lineup of speakers, quite serious, I've seen for a long time. Richard Branson, Michael Heseltine, Sir Terry Leahy, Martha Lane Fox, one of the dragons from the Dragon's Den, a whole range of speakers. The president of Dell from the United States coming over to Liverpool to speak and to discuss the question of enterprise and entrepreneurialism. It's going to be the small businesses that every economist says are going to create the jobs in the future. This city was built on business, private sector money that actually made the city great. We are probably, Frank, several thousand businesses short in this city. We've perhaps lost our way a little bit. If we're not going to have the public money coming in the future we used to have, we need to create the spirit in the city, the will in the city for businesses to form. And bringing this Congress here is about creating that opportunity. So great speakers, 70 fringe events across the city, North Liverpool, South Liverpool, across the whole of the city, major activities across the city. Some big announcements will be made next week as well. Watch this space. And the chance for the people of Liverpool to connect into this. I didn't want a Congress that went into the Arena Convention Centre, fantastic though that is. I wanted this to connect out to people. And the other thing I should say is this was backed by the City Council. Gianderson gave me the authority to go and bid for this. We've brought it to Liverpool. In fact, the private sector have stood up to the plate. We've had several hundred thousand pounds of sponsorship from the private sector towards this. And those people in the city who doubted whether the private sector were up for these kind of major ambitions in the city, can I say you were wrong? I'm delighted to say the private sector has been there. And I know, talking to Joe outside of the studio and talking to him regularly, the ambitions for the city for major events over the next 3, 4, 5 years remain very strong. If the private sector will stand up for this event, I'm sure they're going to stand up for future events in the city. But a wonderful event. The BBC will be here. Financial Times are our media partner. And let me just make one other point before handing back to you. The weekend before the Entrepreneurship Congress, that's the weekend of the 9th, 10th, 11th, there will be a chance for startup businesses to get together, talk about how they might want to form, meet with other people wanting to form businesses, and just talk about new ideas. And these kind of things in the past have often created 3 or 4 or 5 new businesses. So contact Liverpool Vision, contact Downtown, have a look on the website, www.gec2012.
And I think you're absolutely right. The connectivity and engagement with the wider community, I think, has been outstanding. And we're not just talking about the private sector. I think it's brilliant the way Liverpool Community College and the universities have got involved, because it's those people, isn't it? It's the young people in the city, Joe, that we really want to get enthused and excited about starting their own business and actually get involved in business and enterprise.
Yeah, I mean, all credit to the Vision team and the staff behind Max, you know, Mike Taylor and all of the staff at Vision who've put in, you know, a tremendous amount of work to achieve this. It really is a great opportunity for the city in terms of looking at 2,500 people who are economic visitors. They're not just visitors, they're economic visitors. These are people with money, with ideas, with the ability to talk to other people about this city. And that's the exciting part about this project, this programme of events. It's a wonderful opportunity, again, for our city. Some people have never been to the city, but I guess they'll go away with an impression that says, hey, this is a place that's going places as well. And they'll come back again and they'll bring investment back. And so it's a great opportunity. But, you know, the point you make about engaging with people, not just businesses, but, you know, every one of our schools, primary and secondary, have all been involved in it. They've all been given an amount of money and asked to double it. And you know, in cases they've done that, but tenfold. And come up with some great ideas in terms of, you know, I bought a cookery book off one school, primary school, the other day, you know, telling me how to make scouse and stuff and whatever. And it's great, absolutely fantastic. All of those schools, and Gary Miller, who's one of our counsellors and my assistant, has been, you know, going around to every school. I think he's probably been to most, and we've got some exciting presentations to make to young people. We're engaging young people and businesses with some of these, you know, some of these top business people. So it really is a great opportunity. And what, you know, when we look at it, not only have we got it here in Liverpool, it's never been to Europe. You know, the Global Entrepreneurship Congress has never been to anywhere in Europe, and it's coming to Liverpool. And, you know, when I talk to people about it, especially, you know, talking about influential people, like I was talking to, you know, a minister from the Department of Culture yesterday, and explaining to him about it, you know, he was absolutely gobsmacked with what we've done. And I think it's sending out a clear signal, you know, and a clear message that Liverpool is open for business and Liverpool does want to do business. And Max is absolutely right. The city was built by entrepreneurs. And that's the future, you know, about entrepreneurs in the city having great ideas, having the ability and the wherewithal to develop those ideas into businesses and creating jobs and creating growth. And that's where we've got to go, and we've got to try and make Liverpool one of the greatest cities, not just, as I said, in the UK or Europe, and that used to be other people's mantra, but globally, that's mine. We've got to make Liverpool a global entrepreneurship city where people want to come, want to invest and want to, you know, collaborate with others that want to do great things.
And you mentioned, Max, that we've taken the Congress out of the Arena and Convention Centre for very good reasons. 70 fringe events, as you've mentioned. I'll talk about a couple of those in a moment. But nonetheless, the ACC has been pivotal, hasn't it, in terms of attracting not just this event, but many that have gone before it, and hopefully many in the future as well. Do you think the Arena perhaps is the greatest legacy Liverpool have from 2008? Because it just seems to have opened up so many opportunities for us.
What I can say to you is that when the American delegation came across after we'd won the opportunity to host the Congress, they said, and this is an American delegation who are used to major convention centres, as they call them, across the United States, they were blown away, to use their phrase, that we had the kind of facilities we had in Liverpool. They said it was state-of-the-art, compared favourably with anything they had in America. Location was absolutely superb. And, you know, the City Council's taken another brave decision to put prudential borrowing behind an extension to the Arena, so that whether it's Vision or whether it's the Council, because we work hand-in-glove, you know, Vision's part of the Council, whatever it is, that we can bring bigger events to this city. So MTV Awards, BBC Sports Personality of the Year, Global Entrepreneurship Congress, it sells extremely well for the city. I have a debate with myself whether Liverpool won or the Arena are the two greatest things that have happened. And you could argue the toss either way. But certainly watching the eyes of Americans light up when they saw it and just saying, this is where we have to have the Congress, it's been a major selling point. And it continues to be a major selling point for the city. And talking to Bob Pratty, who he and his team do a fantastic job for the Arena in this city, you know, they've got booking stretching now till 2022. We are drawing in significant business from Harrogate, significant business from Birmingham, the other two major convention centres. And I think, you know, sooner rather than later, we'll start challenging London to be the premier conventions Congress city in the UK. And that's fantastic.
And what is the additional investment, Joe? Just remind us what the...
Well, we're going to build a new exhibition centre onto the Arena. It's going to cost about £40 million. But we believe that building on that success, if you like, it you just outlined, you know, the exhibition centre with a 4-star hotel integral to it. So you come out the hotel, well, the hotel is part of the complex. You just go in and out, you know, and it's going to, I think, add to the complex that we've got at ACC. And I think put us out there with, you know, the big cities in terms of Birmingham and London, in terms of what we can offer. And it means that we can compete now with some of the big events, you know, where we've been restricted before. But when we get this up and running, it means that, you know, but it's interesting your point about the legacy in terms of 2008 and stuff, what have you. And Max mentioned about Liverpool One, which was a £1 billion worth of private sector investment, or the arena and convention centre itself. I mean, credit goes to the people who actually went for Capital of Culture.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, Mike Storey, yep. David Henshaw, yep. Warren Bradley, who participated in that as well. You know, all credit goes to them. And I think it's the legacy of 2008 itself and the title of that. That is just as important as those buildings.
Because it also did reinvent the city in a sense and gave it look at the publicity. Back its confidence, didn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Look at the publicity that we got from it, you know, globally again. You know, the international community looking at us in a way that the spotlight hadn't been on the city for so long. And that was a wonderful opportunity for us. And that's why, you know, from my point of view, you know, it was disappointing when some of the same people argued against us going to Shanghai and arguing against us doing the things that we're doing now, because it's actually pushing on from there. It's not
building on
back.
Momentum.
Absolutely, it is. And you know, I've got no problem paying tribute to those that were actually part of that you know, renaissance of the city and having the bold leadership to do those things. And what they've got to do now is stand back and support, if you like, not stand back, but support the bold leadership that's getting taken now to build in addition to that and look at the, you know, the cruise liner terminal, look at what else we're trying to do with Peel, you know, and many, many other things that are going to happen in this city.
Max?
I just want to say, Frank, to listeners, if they can't get to the main event on the Tuesday, go on the website, which I mentioned before, www.gc2012.com, 70 fringe events, almost all of them are free. Join in, participate, whichever you want to, and just be part of this fantastic celebration. Mm. And another first for the city, Frank, which I know you want me to tell your listeners, is that you yourself have bought some tickets. And hang on, Joe's just fallen off his seat. So we have now framed the cheque, Frank, and will it stay in Vision's offices?
I'm sure it'll bounce. Because
I was just going to say,
not only, as I said, is it bringing those business visitors to the city, but look at the hotels that are going to be packed out.
Yeah.
You know, the shops, the restaurants, the bars again that are going to be doing. Okay, it's not 15,000 like the Labour Party, but nevertheless, it's a significant amount of people.
At a time of year, Joe, when the hotels again wouldn't necessarily be expecting that sort of business, so it's a real boost to them. And I know when the Kaufman Foundation came over, they did an event with us at the Hilton, and they were so blown away with the location of the hotel and the facility, they've booked that out for virtually the whole week. So, you know, that's just one tale of, I'm sure, many the hoteliers can tell us about what a boost it's given their industry sector during that week.
Absolutely. We've picked up the fact that at least 7 major corporates are having board meetings in Liverpool that week, in the hotels or in restaurants, whatever it is. So Joe's absolutely right. The shops, the hotels, the bars, they're all going to be busy for that week. It is a week's event. Never been that before in any other Congress. Liverpool's putting a real show on. So it's going to boost our economy as well by whatever that kind of income comes in from all these countries. And the other thing, as Joe said, and I want to repeat it, the more people we come here and actually see the transformation of the city, understand what kind of offer the city has, word of mouth plays a huge part in bringing more people back. You know, I went to Liverpool, had a fantastic experience. You should go. They follow, the city's reputation continues to grow and grow throughout the world. Mm.
And the irony as well for me buying those tickets for that particular week is on the Tuesday evening when I've been invited to the dinner, as your guest, I understand, Mr. Steinberg, the Derby game clashes. Mm-hmm. And I've been offered a free ticket for that, Joe. So I'm missing the Derby game. So excited and impressed am I by the offer from Mr. Steinberg to join him at the GEC dinner on the Tuesday evening. It's a terrible thing that the Premier League have done, actually, clashing that fixture with the dinner. But nonetheless, I'm sure we'll have a great night. And Joe and I can have a celebratory drink at about 10 o'clock once the result comes through.
Hopefully.
But just a couple of mentions for the fringe events that Downtown are involved with. And as Max has said, these are free events for people to attend. On Monday the 12th, we have a breakfast event at the Hilton Hotel, an economy forum with Labour's Shadow Business Innovation and Skills Minister Chuka Amuna, the Shadow Minister for Environment and Climate Change Luciana Berger, and Joe Anderson himself sitting on that particular panel. On Wednesday the 14th, we have an event that is entitled Are You a Member of the Twitterati? And that's looking at all things to do with tweeting and with LinkedIn and all the things that businesses can benefit from if they use their online facilities properly. And we're joined on that day by Kerwin Solicitors, High Performance Consultancy, PH Creative and Google. And that's an event that takes place at 4 p.m. at the Novotel. And then finally, on Thursday the 15th, another breakfast event, 8:30, back at the Hilton Hotel. Global Brands, Global People, easy for me to say. And the panellists include Ian Eyre from Liverpool Football Club, Robert Elston from Everton, and James Barton from Cream. That event is already filling up very quickly, so if you do want to register, please do so as quickly as possible. All the details on the downtownliverpool.com website. I'm afraid we've run out of time for another week. Thank you very much to my guests. Thanks to my producer, Jonathan Dean. And most of all, thank you for listening. Have a great week and don't do anything I wouldn't do.
Downtown Liverpool in business with Frank McKenna. City Talk 105.9. Listen and log on to great music and great conversation on City Talk 105.9.